Equal protection is a concept embodied in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. No state shall deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Almost 100 years ago, no less a figure than Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes mockingly referred to the Equal Protection Clause as the last resort of constitutional arguments. But the Equal Protection Clause was all that George W. Bush needed to secure a victory in the race for the White House, another sort of last resort. A majority of the Supreme Court justices last week accepted his argument that the manual recount of votes ordered by the Florida Supreme Court amounted to a denial of equal protection. The justices ruled that the recount violated the Equal Protection Clause because it was being done inconsistently by officials from various Florida counties without a single objective standard for deciding what should count as a clear expression of voter intent. And with that, the election was over. The Equal Protection Clause has come a long way since Justice Holmes' scoff, and this latest case adds to an interesting history. In the Supreme Court's first case interpreting the new clause, enacted just after the Civil War, justices rejected a claim that equal protection required equal treatment of all butchers in New Orleans. The court reminded the butchers that the clause had been designed to grant basic civil rights to freed slaves and strongly implied that equal protection had no application outside of race discrimination. In recent decades, of course, the Equal Protection Clause has been much more than an afterthought. Justices used it to desegregate the nation's schools and end other forms of race discrimination. And they interpret the clause now as a basic promise against any form of arbitrary or malicious discrimination. And it was this that President-elect Bush seized upon in arguing that recounts were unconstitutional. In its decision last week, a majority of justices agreed with Bush that it was fundamentally unequal for officials in one county to treat a dimpled Chad as a vote, while officials in the next county treated the same indentation as a no vote. This inconsistency, the court said, diluted the votes of those who cast ballots in counties using the more stringent rules and violated the Equal Protection Clause. But in holding that equal protection requires that all voters have an equal chance to have their vote counted, the court resolved this case, but opened the door to dozens of others. Florida counties, for example, used at least 5 different methods for voting in last month's election: optical scanners, old-fashioned levers, punch cards. And dare I raise the specter of the infamous butterfly ballot. Apparently, last week's Supreme Court majority found no similar unfairness or inconsistency in validating the results of an election founded on this patchwork of widely different practices. And this, even though it's undisputed that the different methods and ballots resulted in hugely different chances that a voter's ballot would be disqualified. So the Supreme Court's enthusiastic embrace of the equality principle for vote tabulation methods may have seemed to fit the bill for this year's controversy, but it remains to be seen how seriously the court intends to take this principle in the years to come, perhaps in cases involving figures far less authoritative and in a far less emotionally and politically charged election. I'm Amy Guida.